All right. Praise God. So tonight, I'm going to open us up with a word of prayer, and then I'm going to review a vision that I had had back in 2020, the eagle, the flag, and the weight, and then talk about some false narratives. So join with me in a word of prayer before we get started. Heavenly Father, I just thank you. I thank you for our time together. I thank you for this night. I thank you, Lord God, for what you're doing in the earth. I thank you, Father God, that you care deeply about those that are being afflicted in this hour. And I thank you, Father God, for the privilege that we have to come before you, to go to your word, to go to prayer, to seek your face. We thank you, Lord. Settle our hearts, settle things around us so that we can stay focused and intent on the task set before us. In your precious and holy name I pray. Amen. So September of 2020, while I was interceding over the nation, I saw an eagle that was flying across the country. He had a flag clenched in his talons. He was strong and his flight was intense, but he was weighed down. I saw a spirit of deception that was swirling visibly around the flag as it flew. I looked past the flag and saw five weights attached on the end of that flag. They were round and appeared to be cast iron, kind of like a ball and chain. They were attached to the flag, weighing it down, but they were also connected to one another, like with bungee cords. Those five weights are the media, and so this includes the news, social media, entertainment industry, music industry, and print. The second one was academia. The third one is bloodletting. This would be abortion, human trafficking, and gang violence, and war, honestly. And the fourth one would be religion and the spirit of compromise that's infiltrated it. And then the fifth one was communism, which includes tyranny and lawlessness. So as I prayed intensely in the spirit, the weights began to fall off the flag one by one. The eagle was jolted when the first one broke off, but he recovered quickly. The next weight quickly followed, and they all began to snap off like you'd expect something connected by bungee cords to react. When the first one snapped off, it seemed to trigger the others. So when the last weight fell, I heard a sonic boom, and the eagle soared across the nation. One could easily see that rather than being fatigued or wearied by the weights, the eagle had been strengthened by his efforts to fly under them. He was strong. Now that his flight was no longer strained, he flew with even greater determination and power. The eagle's goal was to break tyranny off the earth. Many in America have forgotten that our flag represents a stand against tyranny. The American flag flew behind this eagle with vibrant color and strength, the cross now shining through the red and white stripes. I heard another sonic boom as the eagle completed his flight across America, and he continued his flight around the world. As he entered the border of a nation, another sonic boom was heard, and I witnessed the spirit of communism break off that nation. With each passage, he brought strength and freedom to the people of that nation. This is our fight. Remember, media is the first weight to fall. So tonight, I'm going to speak on the impact of defeating false narratives with truth, especially targeting the media. The last time I spoke, so this is before the GOE, it was on the pursuit and revelation of truth. Everything, especially in this hour, must be encompassed in the pursuit of truth. The enemy roams to and fro, searching for a man he can devour. This is in 1 Peter 5:8. And our protection, our covering, is under the shadow of the Almighty, where truth resides. And as I briefly touched on my message that was entitled America's Red Sea Moment Approaches, the media is no longer the watchdog of the government, as was the intent of our founding fathers when they included freedom of the press in the First Amendment of the Constitution. Instead, they became the mouthpiece of communism. They pursue an agenda as designed by the Communist Party in a massive disinformation campaign. Whistleblowers from every major news company, Silicon Valley, and even social media influencers have come forward to share their concern over meetings during which they or their organization were brought into by the Obama administration, the State Department, and the Biden administration to learn how and what to release to the public on key issues impacting our nation. Elon Musk has been very open about this. He's exposed emails hidden in the recesses of X, formerly known as Twitter, regarding the 2020 election and the censuring of Trump, along with the truth about COVID and vaccines. Issues such as Benghazi, which was under Obama and Clinton, the origins of ISIS, another Obama regime, Russian interference in the 2016 election, that was pushed by Clinton and Obama, and now the infamous phone call with Ukraine. Of course, there's COVID, Hunter Biden's laptop, Biden's dealings with Ukraine and China, the 2020 election, January 6th, the war between Russia and Ukraine, Biden's dealings with Hunter's business, the LGBTQ plus gender ideology, and on it goes. Had the media been the watchdog of the government and rejected the narrative they were given, then instead they would have released the truth to the American people. And I'm telling you, it would have changed the course of history. Let that sink in for a moment. Would your business still be open if the media had been truthful? Would our children be 2 years ahead instead of 2 years behind in school today? How many children would have avoided gender confusion and even surgery if the media had been truthful? Would we be navigating through new and upcoming businesses popping up along mainstream instead of the homeless camps and tent cities that we see today? How many Russians and Ukrainians would still be alive if the media had been truthful? The media is the mouthpiece of communism. If you go back to the 45 communist goals from the Communist Manifesto, number 20 and 21, I'm going to read those. Number 20 is infiltrate the press, get a hold of book review assignments, editorial writings, policy making positions, and so on. Number 21, gain control of key positions in radio, TV, and motion pictures. The destabilization of our nation by the Communist Party involves strategically controlling both the school and corporate realms. They use news media, print, Hollywood, social media platforms, and so on to push narratives that will change the face of our nation. Neo-Marxism is a vehicle used to bring the communism into our nation. Together, they're like a steam engine running at full speed, tearing apart our country. But we, the intercessor, we, the true church, have to be the restrainer of that evil. How can we, when you consider all that we've witnessed over the last several years, how can we combat such a force? As I said last time, the Bible is indeed still very relevant. So let's go to the Word today. I want to read from John 4, and it's going to be a long passage. So it's John chapter 4. We're going to start at verse 3. And this is the story of the woman at the well. And as we read through this, I want you to think about the questions she's asked. Because the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, there was a narrative a false narrative about her heritage, about her people, that Jesus is going to cut through all the muck and he's going to get to the heart of the issue and bring truth to her. And by doing so, he opens her eyes and she becomes a vessel of the gospel. Because he brought truth. Truth to her pain. Truth to the deception. Truth. So John chapter 4, verse 3. He, Jesus, meaning Jesus, left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There came a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us this well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go, call thy husband. Saith unto her, Thou hast well. Oh, she said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly. The woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain. And ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah comes, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples, and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went to her way into the city and saith unto the men, Come, see a man which told me all things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. I think we'll stop there. Oh, let's go on to verse 39. Many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, He told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them. And he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, Now we believe not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Now, the reason why I wanted to read this story is because the Samaritans are encompassed in a lie, in a narrative that was simply not true. And they were in this bubble of pain, this bubble of suffering, this bubble of separation. And because of the woman at the well, which history records her as Fotina, their eyes, not only were her eyes open, but their eyes were open as well. Fotina's life had been one of pain, rejection, and likely more than one abandonment. Her idea of God, her understanding of worship, and even the coming of Messiah had been distorted through the generations of deception through the Samaritan narrative. To Fotina, the battle between the Jews and Samaritans was just another chink in the armor, which we can clearly see her wearing in as John recounts her conversation with Jesus. So let's look at her narrative. The Samaritans developed their own narrative of events, and that was passed down through the generations. According to the Samaritans, the division between Jews, which are southern Judah, and Samaritans, which would be northern, the northern kingdom, had to do with a fight over the correct location of the tabernacle holding the Ark of the Covenant. In Deuteronomy 12:5, God instructed Moses to establish a place of worship in a place that he would choose. The Samaritans believed that that choice was always to be Mount Gerizim. This is the same place Samaritans believe that Abraham almost sacrificed Isaac. And it's where they believe that Jacob had his vision of a ladder reaching up to the heavens. None of that was true. These events actually occurred on Mount Moriah. So part of the narrative that kept them divided was reinforced by the suppression of the truth. How? Because the Samaritans believed that the first five books of the Bible were the only inspired works of God. So that's all they had at their disposal. If they had had the full history of the Old Covenant, reading through the history of Israel from 1 Kings 10 through 17, 2 Chronicles chapter 10, along with the warnings from Isaiah and Hosea, it would have debunked this account of when and why the true division of Israel occurred. Alas, without these critical historical and prophetic scrolls, the Samaritans were left only with the narrative passed down to them. Fotina believed this as well, which is why she pursues the line of questioning that we read in John 4. So what is the truth? And you know, Jesus repeatedly said truth, 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 because he was trying to pierce through the armor that was over her heart with truth, with who he was. What is the truth? When the nation of Israel was split between the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom under Jeroboam, Shechem temporarily became its capital, but later Samaria became the official capital of the northern kingdom. Jeroboam brought terrible idolatry into the nation, which was carried down through the generations. And after decades of prophetic warnings to turn away from their sins, God's hand of protection was lifted from the northern kingdom, and in 722 BC, Assyria conquered Israel and took most of its people into captivity. The invaders then brought in Gentile colonists from Babylon, Cutha, Ava, Hamath, and from Sepharvaim. That's in 2 Kings 17:24. Mostly, they were men. And they resettled the land and intermarried with the Israelite women. The foreigners brought with them their pagan idols, which many of the remaining Israelites began to worship along the God of Israel. In this case, Samaria was filled with descendants of this event and were considered Assyrian Jews, another source of contention. Bitterness and hatred only increased between them from this point, and the fight about the truth of God's choice for his temple ensued. In other words, which mountain God chose, where Abraham laid Isaac on the altar, where Jacob's vision of the latter truly occurred. The lies propagated to further divide their nation were successful. Until Jesus, Christ came and brought them his plan, his purpose, his solution, and he broke down the barriers with his love, his truth, and Fotina's eyes were open. So think for a moment, what impact did truth have on Fotina? According to history, she was so moved by her encounter with Christ, recognizing he was indeed the long-awaited Christ. Her whole life became one of constant evangelism. What we have here in the Gospel of John is a foundation for her life of Christian discipleship. When Fotina returned to her community, they listened to her. Her ministry was to all the people there. Both men and women heard her and were impacted by her testimony. She was bold and disruptive in her newfound freedom, and her exuberance was contagious to all who encountered her. She was a catalyst for revival in Samaria. As she spoke publicly to the people of her city, marking this the beginning of a new life for Fotina and Samaria. History records that Fotina and her family were present when the Holy Spirit fell in Jerusalem on Pentecost. She was baptized in the Spirit, baptized by the disciples, and this began her life as an evangelist in a mighty and profound way. For 30 years, she spread the gospel of our Lord and Savior. She is said to have traveled to Carthage, where she received a vision calling her to Rome to confront the Emperor Nero, a persecutor, a vicious persecutor of Christians. She went with family members alongside her. Nero tried to lure them with wealth and prestige, but they rejected his pointless attempts. Then they faced gruesome torture one by one in front of Fotina in an attempt to persuade her to deny Christ. Finally, Nero ordered her torture to begin. Throughout, she sang praises to the King of Kings, refusing to deny Christ. Fotina was eventually martyred by being thrown into a dry well. She herself already possessed the living water. And again, she sang hymns until she perished. I always imagine this setting serving as more of an amphitheater to her worship of our Lord. What a precious testimony of the one who 30 years prior had a divine appointment with Jesus to receive truth that would set her, her family, and her people free. So if Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, does he not still want to open the eyes of those who have fallen into the deception? Today, it's the media, and they continue to unleash deception over the church and the citizens of our country. He wants to open the eyes of the church. He wants to open the eyes of our children, even in corporate America. And that is going to take continued prayer on our part. Why? Because right now, they're trying to divide us. They're trying to divide conservatives. They're trying to divide intercessors. They're trying to separate the church. So when we are busy and distracted, fighting among ourselves, they're implementing Marxist policies that will indeed oppress all citizens. We have to stand against those false narratives. We have to stand with all we have to break their hold on the minds of our young people, the church, and ultimately our nation. That eagle must fly free. It is not only going to affect America, but it is going to affect every nation that is willing, that has people praying for it. It's going to affect them as it breaks the deception of communism off those nations. I saw it take place in nation after nation of the world. The awakening is here, and God is moving, and history teaches us that he partners with his people to accomplish his goals in the earth. Just look at Fotina. The media unleashes deception, and it is the vehicle through which neo-Marxist ideology is introduced and ultimately propagandized into a place of acceptance by the public. But we can defeat this. The vision I shared at the beginning, that eagle, it shows that with faithful intercession, it can be done. It was prayer that brought the weight of media down. It was prayer that compelled every weight that followed to come down. It was prayer that broke the deception. We can do it. So let's continue to partner with him in truth. Just as his truth prompted the opening of Fatina's eyes, the truth through his people will break down the neo-Marxist narrative so that we can derail the train of communism and pull that weight off the flag that our eagle is carrying. Let's stand together and defeat the narratives of the enemy with truth. And so I'm going to mention a couple of narratives tonight, and I'll print this out and I'll send it so that if your fingers are burning from taking notes, you know, you won't miss it. One of the narratives, and this is something I have heard, I can't tell you how many times, I had to defeat this narrative in my own children, okay? That there is supposed to be separation between church and state. This was not the intention of our founding fathers. The goal was for the state not to dictate religion and control the church. The church is indeed supposed to influence the state, however. Number two, that education and God do not mix. This is another false narrative. In the earliest stages of our nation, children learned to read by reading the family Bible. They recited prayers directly from the Psalms and curriculum centered around our Creator. Harvard, Yale, Princeton, they were all set in place for a higher learning, but 70 to 80% of the graduates who graduated with law degrees also graduated with a master's degree in biblical studies. The descent of these higher learning institutions began when the church stopped funding them. Think about that for a minute. Number three, life begins when the fetus, we call that a baby, can survive outside the womb, apart from the mother. And we know that life begins at conception, and destiny is established before conception. You can read about that, Jeremiah 1:5. Before I formed you, I knew you, and I called you to be a prophet. Before he was ever conceived, his destiny, Jeremiah's, was set to be in place by God for him to be a prophet. Number four, there are more than two genders. Don't even get me started on this. But the Bible tells us that in the beginning, he made man and woman. That's it. Two genders. Life and destiny end when this narrative is embraced. How? Because part of your destiny, part of your life, is the generation that will follow you. And that generation that follows you, your child, your entire lineage is continued through you, your child, your grandchild, your great-grandchild. Why do you think the Bible talks about lineage the way it does? It's, yes, the lineage of Christ. But Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they talked about the promise of God to Abraham. They understood it takes time for the fullness, and you may not receive the fullness of the promise, but your son or your grandson or your great-grandson may be the one that receives the fullness. Life and destiny end when the narrative that there's more than two genders is embraced. Number five, I'm going to go to more temporal things. Trump, the 2020 election, the current court cases against him, their efforts to keep him off the ballot. This narrative is meant to divide and conquer, divide and conquer, and we have to stop giving into it. I do know Christians that say that Trump is a liar, that he's committed fraud. And I'm telling you, this is meant to weaken the base, and we cannot allow it. The Lord said that the hammer of justice was falling, and we've got to keep praying until this is complete and victory is won. Number five, I think it is, COVID and all that that entails, where it came from, the wealth transfer that occurred in the midst of it, all the way to the stripping of our liberties, both in the church and in the nation. The next one is the military-industrial complex. The majority of American-funded conflicts between nations are proxy wars intended to destabilize that nation. When we look at the war, the push for this war between Russia and Ukraine, what we look at are the images that are played on our screen. But the reality of it is, this is a proxy war being funded and driven by the military-industrial complex. We need to bring the whole thing to an end to save the people on the ground. And the last one I'll address is that truth is all relative. You think, okay, well, that doesn't make sense. Talk to a young person today. Truth is all relative. It's about your perspective. No, this is my truth. You have your truth. I have my truth. The Bible, you know, and you'll hear this, especially with social justice warriors. Ephesians 4:21 tells us that truth is in Jesus. John 8:32 tells us that we'll know the truth, and that truth will set us free. The reality it is that Jesus is the plumb line of truth. Any attempt to deviate or formulate our own truth leads us on a path of deception. Let's go back to Fatina. Jesus pierced through her heart with truth. And when he did, it ripped the veil right off her eyes. Not only did she see the truth, but she was so completely set free that she spread the word that the Christ was there. And revival started in her city. She maintained her life as an evangelist until she died for him. After watching her two sisters and her five sons be martyred before her eyes. The truth set her free, and she gave her life for Christ. That's what truth does to us. Truth opens our eyes, removes the veil of deception, and the media is out there consistently trying to close us and encircle us in deception. And we as Christians, as intercessors, must stay the course. I want to encourage you, and I'm going to close with this. Pray every day that God will give you wisdom, knowledge, discernment, and understanding. Wisdom, knowledge, discernment, and understanding. Because the enemy is going to amp up his effort to divide, to conquer. His goal is to divide the conservative base and split us as many ways as possible so that he can complete his takeover of this country. But the Lord says no. His plans are for that weight of media to be brought down. And as it is, God is going to penetrate every other arm, every other weight, rather, that is on that eagle until every one of them fall down. And deception will be broken from our country. And when that happens, we are going to see a movement of freedom across our land. It will be powerful. It will be profound. But let me tell you, it is being birthed by the intercessors. And our path of intercession up to this point and into this next year is critical. We must stay the course. Above all else, lean in, trust in, and rely on the truth with a capital T. Trust in him. And if we stay on our knees, that victory that mom saw, that liberty in 2024, the glory I saw pour in 2024 will enable us to reclaim our land in 2024. Stay the course, my friends. Don't let false narratives take you off course. Stay the course and keep your eyes on the Lord. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you for our time together. I thank you for the intercessors. I thank you for their faithfulness. I thank you, Lord, that they continue to seek the truth. And I ask, Lord God, that you just bless them as they dedicate their time and stay on their knees with us tonight. In your precious and holy name, amen. Thank you, Daryl.
Ricky. Ricky.
Yes. Yes.
Honey, that was absolutely so powerful. And the delivery is so beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you, Mom. Thank you. Praise God. Thank you.